Belonging smelly, come as Kako say, from protestis of ex mini, ex pigistan carasov. Nearly does say, look at this precious bundle of joy. Does say, I can only imagine what a joy and a pleasure it must be for a parent to hold a child in their arms. And I pray for this precious life, Lord God, merely. You hold this entire universe for this child in your hands, her future in your hands. I thank you, Lord God, that your plans that you have for her is to prosper her. Good plans, not to harm her. I pray that you. Stand in a straight circle around him. You can stand in the middle. Father, all we can say is thank you. Thank you for this man. Thank you for this life. Thank you for the gift that he is to the body of Christ. And the Lord, I just pray that you take him from glory to glory and from one level of excellence to another. Thank you, Lord God, that you honor obedience. And as he is being obedient to your call on his life, thank you that you will bless him, Lord God, beyond his wildest dreams. Thank you, Lord God, that this is, in one way, it's not an end to something, it's just a change. And thank you that as he steps into this new chapter of his life, Lord God, the anointing upon him will increase in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you that you keep him strong, that your joy is his strength, Lord God. And thank you that you continue anointing him to enable him to worship in spirit and in truth. And that the blessing that he has been here, thank you that he will be even a greater blessing and a bigger blessing to the folks that side at Western Bikers Church, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So I've asked Louis to sing that song, Wish Me Luck as You Wave Me Goodbye, cheerio, here I go. No, we're not going to do that. We know when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as luck. We don't walk into the devil's luck. We walk into God's blessing. So I'm going to hand over to the deep end to lead us for a time of worship. Bless you, guys and lady. Let's stand as we worship the Lord together.
So I sang, normally it's just like a one or two lines of Chris Rea's song, but this was in Clarence, I did the whole song. And then afterwards the lady came to me and said, oh, you know, so beautiful the way that you changed the words of that Road to Hell song. So I didn't change the words, that's always been like that. Road to Hell says, you know, we are here on this earth, and we are messing things up, left, right and center. This that we're busy with is not the road to heaven. It's the road to hell. The
Just like so few days when you're in it. Had me yell that mere songs on opgewarm to rock is on. Just as I'm about to shift to second gear, these guys decide it's time out. Leon, if I share that with a congregation, some people are going to be offended. Some people will be offended, believe it or not. That's just between you and I and the Holy Trinity. Hallelujah. Folks, it's a privilege and an honor to get together with you again this morning. I extend apologies on behalf of Colette, my spare rib. My mom has been hospitalized several weeks ago, and Colette has gone this morning to pick her up from the step-down unit. She was hospitalized for a kidney failure and toxicity on the brain and decalcification of the bones. Had an operation recently where a metal pin was put in her femur. But as I said, I decided that's it. So Colette is going to pick her up, and she's going to get my mom on my dirt bike, and my mom's going to be riding my dirt bike just to loosen up the muscles and stuff like that. So apologize, Colette's picking my mom up, and she's out on a day of absence of leave for today. Hopefully that goes well. We're trusting that goes well so that she can join us for Christmas Day. I want to get back to the last point that we didn't get to touch on before the Day of the Covenant message that we brought. Jesus was praying in the garden, God's house of prayer. Just to recap, we spoke about why Jesus in the garden, why would he pray for his joy to be fulfilled in us? We looked at the fact that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need strength to be able to just make it today, just to be able to survive. We need strength. And we also looked at the fact that choosing to live a godly life is going to attract hatred from the world. Not everybody in Jesus' day rejoiced in him and celebrated his message and received his message. We looked at the fact that you become like the people you spend the most of your time with, and we shared with each other the concept of where I said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And these are the things that were important to Jesus, and that's why he prayed this in the garden. This morning we look at the last aspect from that particular portion of Jesus' prayer. It's from the 17th verse of John chapter 17. So kindly follow in your Bibles with me. Jesus prays this, and he prays to God, and he says, he asks God to sanctify, and the word there in the Bible is them, meaning us. He says, God, sanctify them by your word, and your word is truth. So what we're going to look at is, why would the two of them, Jesus and God and the Spirit, the three of them, why would they pray for us to be sanctified? What does it mean to be sanctified? And what is God's purpose for us to be sanctified? We're going to look at those two aspects this morning. Is that okay? Are you ready to receive from the Lord this morning? Father, we thank you that we have your word available to us. Thank you that it's in written form, it's in printed form, it's on paper, it's in electronic form. Thank you that you've written it on the tablets of our heart. But Holy Spirit, would you come and just fill in the blanks for us this morning? Would you come in and just color the black and white picture? Would you make it clear to us, crystal clear? The Logos that is written, Holy Spirit, come and make it rhema in our hearts. Speak it into each heart, into each mind, into each spirit this morning. Father, we all, but especially me now, declare and acknowledge my dependency upon you. Holy Spirit, may I hear the heart of God, may I tune into his heartbeat, and may I accurately represent what the Father would want us to discuss this morning. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that when we leave this place, we will be changed, we will become more like Jesus, we will be challenged, we will have grown, that we can go out and make a difference in the world. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Jesus says, he prays to God, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Okay, so the word sanctification in this context here means two things. It means being made holy. Okay, and one of the meanings of the word holy is to be different. God is a holy God because he's different. First of all, he's alive. Second of all, he's good. Second of all, it's the only God where people's eternity is based on what God has done and not what people do. He's holy, all right? So the word sanctification means being made holy, but in the context here, it also means being set apart for a specific purpose. Okay? So we'll use Mari's motorcycle this morning. There's a part of this motorcycle that's been set apart for a specific purpose. Let's just say these twin pot lithium brake calipers, radial brake calipers that are on these discs. It's set apart to be able to stop this motorcycle when it needs to stop. So Jesus' prayer to the Father, he prays, God, sanctify them. So in other words, make them holy and set them apart, because there's a specific purpose that God has in mind. It's not just to be happy, clappy Jesus freaks. We Christian mensen wat de snaakse taal praten, wat snaakse gewoontes, wat doen snaakse goed. That's not the world and the church. No, there's a specific purpose. And if you sanctify them by your word, and your word is truth. So there's the specifics of what it means, and also Jesus shows us here what it is. And it's this and only this that can keep us sanctified. And we're going to explain that a little bit later. We're going to look at two main reasons. There are several, but two main reasons why God would want us sanctified in these end times. Why would he want his church to be holy? Why would he want his people to be different? And why would he want us to be set apart? What are his purposes? So the first reason is that God wants us kept aside, so to speak, to keep our hearts from growing cold and loveless during these extremely trying and difficult end times. He wants us sanctified to keep our hearts from growing cold and loveless. All you need to do is to gauge Christian activities and church attendance from several decades ago, before there were so many entertainment activities and sports activities on a Sunday. Gauge it compared to today, where there are many activities and many sporting events on Sundays. Gain the church attendance today as it was several decades ago. Varani, a concert was op 'n Sondag, op 'n sporting event op 'n Sondag. Mense het gaan aan bid iewerste op 'n Sondag. Daar was nie ander goed op 'n Sondag. Do you remember those days? Those were the days when garages would close at 6 o'clock, I think 5 o'clock on a Friday, and it wouldn't open again till Monday. Do you remember those days? Those were the days when, could we say that perhaps people's hearts were not as cold towards the things of God as they are today? Could we say that then perhaps people's love was perhaps different to what it is today when it comes to the things of God? Jesus knew this when he prayed this in the garden. Therefore he prayed, Lord, sanctify them. And one of the reasons is to stop and to prevent our hearts from growing cold and loveless. Where do we get that from? Matthew 24, verse 10 to 13. Jesus says, and then, everybody say then, which is now. Everybody say now. So then is now. And then many will be offended. Don't raise your hands if you're offended. Many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, that gives a reason why this happens. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But, and I love that word when it features in the Bible, in the right place at the right time. When it says but, it means that everything changes. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. I thank God that I'm looking at people that are going to endure till the end. Let's try this side. I thank God that I'm looking at people that are going to endure till the end. And is there? Are there people here that are going to endure till the end? Or are we going to be the people whose hearts grow cold and become loveless? Nou, voordat jou gedagtes gaan afgewyk word na iemand wat nie hier so is nie, dit kan met almal van ons gebeur net so. I'm going to prove it to you. It says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Because lawlessness will abound. So, practically, Mozzie, what does that mean? How does lawlessness cause us, our hearts to grow cold and to become loveless? How does that happen? It says, only the truth, Jesus and his word in the Bible is what can sanctify us and keep us that way. That's why Jesus prays like this. He says, God, don't sanctify them through good deeds. Don't sanctify them through Christian habits. Don't sanctify them through witnessing, through giving, through missionary. No. All those things are good. But sanctify them through your word. Because your word is truth. Folks, if sanctification means being made holy, and if sanctification means being set apart, only the word and the truth of the word can keep us sanctified. For example, I give my heart to Jesus. Yay! And you have the Christian honeymoon period where everything is going lekker before the devil comes to attack you. Dis wanneer jy onthou daai tyd, né? Jy gee jou hart vir die Here, dit is wonderlik. And then life happens. So you sanctify, you set apart, and then life happens. And then you get despondent. And it's attack after attack after attack. And your mind starts going to the place like, but God, why me? Guess what? Your sanctification, my brother and sister, is in danger. Met ander woorde, jy is nie een kant gesit vir God se spesifieke doel nie. Jou gedagtes is ergens elders, dat die vyand by jou kan kom steel, verwoes en vermoor. Can you see how quickly we can lose our sanctification? Can you see how quickly we can go from being different to being same old, same old? Jy's net soos die res van die verlorenes in die wêreld. Are you getting the picture? That is why Jesus prays, say, God, sanctify them by your word, and your word is truth. That's why the word was God, the word was with God, and the word became flesh, and the word dwelt amongst men. It's Jesus. It's God personified. It is the word lived out, fleshed out. That's the only thing that can keep us sanctified. Nothing else. Not our dedication, not any pastor's preaching, not church membership, not whatever. The word and Jesus, the truth, can keep us sanctified. And the truth is what keeps us sanctified. The truth. What is truth? Pontius Pilate asked that question. What is truth? I'm going to give a version this morning. Listen to this. When we're truthful and honest about what God wants to change in our lives, then and only then can we stay sanctified. For example, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you through the still small voice, through messages, through a text, through nature, through a dream, through a vision, and I can go on. There's 10 ways that I know of in which God speaks. So he starts speaking to you about something, but jy moet verander kon word, and jy sê, nee, honey, you know the truth, you've heard the truth, you even believe the truth, but the scripture speaks about how God will send, listen carefully, God will send strong delusion to those who do not love the truth. So what does that mean, sir? That means you know the truth, you've heard the truth, you believe the truth, but you refuse to let the truth change you. Now you think about that. People knew the truth. The truth walked amongst them. They heard the truth. The truth was manifested and shown to them, but they didn't love the truth now. So God, the Bible says, God sends them strong delusion so that they'll believe the lie of Satan. You say, why would God do that? Because I can't imagine the heart in the earth to play. I hear it. Think about it, church. God knows you're going to refuse to change. So he says, right, you want to have it your way? Have it your way. And he sends you delusion that you can continue to believe the lie of the devil. Folks, this is serious stuff. Serious stuff. So when Jesus says, Lord, let your word sanctify them, let your truth sanctify them. The truth, first of all, who he is, and secondly, the truth of what God wants to change in your life, sir. What is it, my brother, my sister, when you're sitting this morning, that you know God wants you to change, and you've not yet changed? Don't tell me. You discuss it with God. That's the kind of sanctification that will keep us enduring till the end. That's the kind of sanctification that will keep our hearts from growing cold and loveless. This means we need to recognize the fallen state of mankind and allow God to make us whole again. Consider this statement. I said it twice this past week or twice in the last 2 weeks. I don't know. But I'm saying it again. And some of you, it's going to ruffle some religious feathers because you're going to think in charismatic terms, you're going to think in Christianese terms, you're going to think in Nehemiah, you must altijd positief belay, you must speak positive. I get that. But just bear with me if I make the statement. We're all sick in search of the physician. And unforgiveness squat, rent-free in my head and in my heart. I let a door there and started messing with my cup. And then the devil comes for the longest time. That's how I came to know Jesus. The devil pressed the suicide button. And that's how I got born again. I'll share my testimony another time. So the devil, I can't even think of itself with nothing for me. But these words came to mind. Guess what words came to mind? I started thinking of the words that I want to write in my suicide note. And you know what the words were? To all, I gave my best. To the rest, it wasn't good enough. Sorry. Like, really? So feeling like that, I just came to the Lord. I didn't come to the Lord. The Lord came to me because I was too bad to come to the Lord. I couldn't do nothing. God came and just rescued me. Changed my heart, changed my soul, cleansed my mind, renewed my spirit, and I prayed not. Hallelujah. Verstaan je wat ik zeg, jullie? These are the things, bitterness, unforgiveness, disappointment, etc. When we let those things get us, it quickly gets us to a place where we, our hearts grow cold and we become loveless. Ek hier net nie meer om nie, man. Gaan vlieg in jou in. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying this morning? That's why Jesus prayed like this. Sanctify them, Lord. Keep them by your word. Your word is truth. Jesus prays and asks God to sanctify us because he knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. The second reason why Jesus prays for us to be sanctified is this. God wants us sanctified. And why Jesus prayed for our sanctification in the garden is for God's purpose to come to pass in our lives. People have written books and very good ones about what is my doel in your life? What is my purpose? There's one scripture verse that I'm going to share this morning that makes it clearer than anything else what your purpose is. How many of you feel, let's just be real this morning. We're family here. Is that okay? At least once in your life, at least once you've asked yourself, what's my purpose? Can I see a show of hands? Anybody? Okay, for those of you that have never asked that, you know what your purpose is, right? Let altijd geweet wat your doel is in your life. Really? This one verse, just one. There's many, but I'm going to choose just one this morning. That makes it crystal clear, with no shadow of a doubt, what your purpose in life is. This verse, most Christians don't quote it. We quote the verse before because it's a knacker verse. It's like one of those feel-good verses. It's from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And the popular verse there is verse 28, which says that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and for those who are called according to his purpose. And I'll stop on start. Verse 29 tells us clearly what your purpose is. So my brother, my sister, geliefde in die Here, if you're sitting here this morning and you are clueless as to your purpose, welcome us again. That's about to change. It's about to change. Because God's going to tell you what your purpose is, my boy. Isn't that cool? You're going to know. So that's why I'm here. Now it makes sense. Are you ready? Verse 29 says, therefore, wait, I'm excited, so I'm going to do a little rewind a bit. Just to make sure that everybody gets it, we're going to read it out of four different translations and one paraphrase. Let us check them out on Snapchat. Okay? And I don't mean that sarcastically, because so many Christians that love Jesus, they just don't know what their purpose is. They love Jesus, but they don't know what their purpose is. Somebody once said recently, and this is a generalized statement, so please apply grace and poetic license to the statement. Is that okay? Are you ready for this, church? This man said, somebody else said it, not me. Okay. So many grace of me. And I got to, this man said, the modern day church is filled with passionate people with empty heads that know little about the Jesus they love. You think about that. And I'm not knocking worship styles or music genres
or the decor of a building, or the equipment, or the lack thereof, or anything like that. Ecclesiastes says everything is beautiful in its time. So if it's its time, it's beautiful. That's what the Bible says. But when this man read this, my mind went to the type of churches where I was mozzing. When I go there or look at it, I cannot discern the difference between that and the nightclubs that I used to join in before I got born again. I can't see a difference. I just can't see a difference. So I thought, is there truth in this man's statement where he says the modern church is filled with passionate people with empty heads that know little about the Jesus they say they love? So there's so many people that love Jesus, but they still don't know what their purpose is. So Mozzie, please just get to the point, because there's Christmas food waiting for me at home. This is your purpose. Verse 29 of Romans 8, and I'm going to go through all the translations so that everybody gets it this morning. The New King James, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Did we get that? The New Living Translation is, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Did you get that? He chose us to become like Jesus. Are you starting to see your purpose? Your purpose is not to be your parents' first child, second child, third child, fourth child, oops child. There are no mistakes when it comes to conception. Your purpose is not to be the greatest CEO or the greatest athlete or whatever. That's all secondary. Your purpose is to be like Jesus. That's why God gave you life. That's why he gave you breath. That's why he lets your heart beat. That's why you're alive here and now. That's why you're sitting here this morning. Because God's purpose for you is to become like Jesus. My suggestion to you is, and this is not the Holy Spirit, this is Mozzie's 5 cents. If you're not into that purpose of God, bail out now. Because you're just going to frustrate yourself. You're just going to frustrate yourself. You can make a choice and say, I'm not going to live according to God's purposes for my life, and then you're going to do your thing. The Tanbiki Marker could have used for a while, thought he'd find your phosphat, so it's not much for tomorrow. Or you can say, God, my purpose is to be like Jesus. That's why I'm here. Your purpose is to become like Jesus Christ. That's God's purpose for us. That's the NLT. The Message paraphrase. God bless Eugene Peterson. He's gone to be with the Lord, I trust. He wrote this because he wanted his children to be able to easily understand the scripture, and he wanted to be able to teach his congregation Bible language that's easier to understand. And many people have knocked the Message, neither here nor there. It's a paraphrase, so I'm telling you it's a paraphrase. The Message paraphrase is, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. Newsflash to some. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him. To shape the lives of those who love him. Along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. I love that. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. Humanity restored. So Jesus came to show us the brokenness of mankind and God's plan of salvation to get us fixed. Jesus was the first example of that. And says, God has placed us here so that we can become like that and follow that example. This is the menstorm. Menstorm is the erective word for mankind. Yeah. So that means women are unkind. I'm just joking. It wasn't even funny. Beyond that wasn't funny. It wasn't funny, but you're laughing. Jesus came to show us, guys, you're broken, and I'm God. I'm here to fix you. Who's with me? Isn't it beautiful? You're broken. I'm God. I'm here to fix you. Who's with me? Come. Let the Father fix you. The first in the example of this line of mankind restored and redeemed. No, is it that the vertaling, you cannot be anders to say it, fella. This must be so. I got off one. The Afrikaanse vertaling, 33:53. Is there recht for it? Come on, man. Waar is die Afrika? Daar is hy, meneer. Daar gaan die hand op. Daar is opwindenheid in die huis volgen. Can I get your second person that ik vader in 53 vertaling? Hier kom het nou. Want die Heere, joh, this is awesome. Want die wat hy van tevore
Kenneth. Van tevore, man. Die het hy ook van tevore verordeneer. I love that. You ordained before anything, man. Jy is van tevore verordeneer om gelijkvormig te wees aan die beeld van sy seun, sodat hy die eerstgeborene kan wees onder baie broeders. I love that. Van tevore verordeneer. You ordained before everything. God had this beautiful idea called heart. Man. Danny. Did you? Big Pompey. Kral Kriel. Pustan Versace. Fleisch Lawrence. Poop Beaumont. Or whatever your new name is. God had this beautiful idea called you. This beautiful idea called you. And from the beginning, he wanted you to be like Jesus. Who's on board this morning? And Jesus prays that in the garden for us. God, he prays to God. He says, God, this is our purpose. This is our plan. This is our intention. This is what I've got in store for these people. I don't want them to be a victim of a godless government. I don't want them to be a victim of disease and sickness, incurable things that modern medicine has no answer for. I don't want them to be whatever. I want them to be like us. Father, Son, and Spirit. That's why Jesus prays like this in John 17 and verse 17. Laastens, mag God nie minstens nie, die nuwe lewende vertaling sê die volgende. Teen die tyd, ek glo, almal het dit gesnap. Jy weet, omdat jy weet, omdat jy weet, wat is jou doel vir oggend. Die NLV sê, want God het hulle reeds vooruit geken, en hy het hulle aangewys om net soos sy seun te word. Op hierdie manier sal Christus Jesus die oudste seun wees, omring deur baie broers en susters. Hey guys, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And as we close, there are two critical concepts we need to understand. Just two critical concepts. So we looked at the two main reasons why Jesus prays for our sanctification. Okay? To stop our hearts from growing cold and becoming loveless, and also for us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. But for that to happen, there's two critical concepts that we need to get and understand today in this day and age. And those concepts are the following. Okay? Number one, everything happening in the world right now. This is, I say this to help us all understand why things are going the way they are going. Everything happening in the world right now is going towards a one world religion, one world government, one world currency. Everything that's happening spiritually, socially, and economically is going towards a one world religion, one world government, and one world currency. Is everybody on board with that? So that's the world leaders. And the other critical concept we have to understand is God is love. And he really, really loves you. You say, yo, the Muslim, that's all in you. Okay. But how do you explain that to a man who finds himself in the foreign pair of shoes? The man's name is Ben. Yesterday I had the privilege of riding our plastic ring-ding-dings with a band of brothers from the church. Ons het lekker gespeel, ons het lekker fellowship gehad, van hulle het gelag, van hulle het gehuil, van hulle het geniet, en van hulle het baie kwaad geword. The guy that manages that place, his name is Ben. And we were leaving, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to go and speak to him, like I from time to time do. And I came to him and said, Ben, so I pray God's blessing over you. I pray that your best of 2024 is the worst of your 2025. And I said for my, Mozzie, dat gaan dan beteken dat ek nie kanker het nie. Ek sê wat, Benna? En toe ek ingekom het gisteroggend vroeg, het ek gesien die man het bietjie gewig verloor, but I didn't give it a second thought. He said to me, Mozzie, I've got cancer, I've just gone through a session of treatment, and the cancer is in remission. And I felt the compassion of God start to flood my soul. And then Ben continued speaking. And Ben said, I've just lost my 31-year-old daughter to cancer as well, Mozzie. And a year ago, I lost my other daughter to cancer, Mozzie. Wat sê ek vir so 'n man? God loves you. Regtig? Ek kan my net Christen nie. Ek sê van Ben, ek het nie antwoord nie. Ek het nie antwoord nie. Hoe is dit vir ouer om twee kinders te verloor in 'n tydperk van 'n jaar van kanker? En jy is besig om te genees te word van hom. Ek het nie woorde nie. But sometimes like that, that we have to understand. When you want to say, but God, why me? Remember I said not so long ago that in any fundamental Christian principle that we hold on to, you're going to find an apparent paradox. Case in point. God is love. The Bible says so. But all hell is breaking loose on your life down here in earth. How we fulfill that to him at Macau. It's living with that tension that we have to believe that God is love and God really, really loves you. Those two critical criteria, the one thing that's happening in the world, and on the other side, that God really loves you and God really, really is love. And dealing with the tension is where we need the Holy Spirit's guidance. God loves you. And if we're living in absolute surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, everything that God is allowing in your life right now, everything that God is allowing in your life right now is working towards the fulfillment of Romans 8 verse 29. Think about it, church. Everything that's happening in your life right now, if you're at that place where you're living, and I chose these words, the Holy Spirit chose these words carefully when I put his thoughts onto this computer record over here. If you are completely surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, you let the Holy Spirit interpret what that means in your context, in your life. Not my revelation, your revelation. If you are completely surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, if and only if, then everything that is happening in your life right now is working towards the fulfillment of Romans 8 and verse 29. And Jesus prays that in the garden. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. And after you've prayed, I'm going to ask Louis, one more time, just lead us in worship, and do that Adonai song, okay? Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Jesus, none of us really know what you went through in the garden when you prayed for us like you did. But all we know is that you said certain things, and you asked God of certain things, and our prayer is that those things come to pass, Lord. And Lord, you were so stressed out that the blood in your body surfaced to your skin. And you've done it anyway, you prayed for us. And this morning we want to pray like you prayed, Jesus. We want to pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, would you sanctify us by your word, because your word is truth. And would you keep us sanctified? Would you keep us strong, Lord? Will you guard our hearts and keep our hearts from becoming loveless and cold? Will you keep our hearts from becoming storehouses of offense and hurt and bitterness and unforgiveness? Will you keep our minds from being dustbins of selfishness and self-awareness? And Lord God, would you keep our temples sanctified for the things of God? These are our prayers this morning, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we want to pray like Jesus prayed. We say, God, keep us sanctified by your word. Your word is truth. So we will be of the number that endure till the end. That in the very, very end, our hearts will be filled with love. And our hearts will not be cold, but our hearts will be more on fire than they've ever been, to the praise and glory of your name. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're doing business with God and you're busy praying, and you know there's a place and area in your life or a time, maybe in the past, or maybe heck, maybe even right here and now, that you're feeling that your love is growing a little bit cold. And that the love that you had for the things of God and for the lost and for his plans and purposes, perhaps not as enthusiastic as it was last week, last month, last year, 6 years ago, 16 years ago. If you're at that place this morning, my brother, my sister, and you want God just to rekindle those flames of love in your heart again, and if you want God to take those cold, loveless, hard areas of your heart to fill with love again and to warm them up and to make them soft and tender, if you have any area like that in your heart and in your life right now, if that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Anyone else? On this side of my left hand side, in the middle here, right hand side, bless you. Father, we've raised our hands this morning, and I raise my hands. In complete surrender to your Lordship. And I pray for each one of us, Lord God, that raised our hands. Say, Lord, we want to pray like you taught us to pray and say, our God, our Daddy who is in heaven, your name is hallowed, your name is holy, your kingdom come, your will be done, and personalize this now as we pray, church, if you raise your hands. Your kingdom come in my life, your will be done in my life, your kingdom come in my heart, your will be done in my heart, as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread, not just the food that I need to eat, but the spiritual bread of life. The bread of life that is Jesus. Give me this day the daily bread that I need to change my heart again from a cold, loveless heart to a heart that is full of love and is warm and hot and on fire for the things of God. And forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my bitterness and unforgiveness and disappointment and despondency and self-righteousness. Forgive me as I forgive those who have sinned in this way against me. And God, I ask that you lead us not that you would, but that you keep us away from temptation and lead us not into evil, but keep us away from the wiles of the devil. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. And I pray these things this morning, Lord God. I've come here this morning and my heart has been cold and my heart has been loveless. And as I leave this place, Lord, thank you that I'm a changed man. Thank you that I'm a changed woman. Thank you that I can go to make a difference in the world, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord, that you keep me strong, that you keep me standing, that you keep me sanctified, set apart for your purpose to become like Jesus. And the children of the Most High God said, amen. And amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for coming and listening this morning. God willing, we'll see each other on Christmas morning, next week Wednesday, is that correct? Have a Jesus-full day further. Thank you to the deep end. One more time. Thank you.